Exodus chapter number 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, I don't know about you, but right about now I'm mad, okay? I know the God that brought them out of the land of Egypt. And for something like that to take place just within a few months of God delivering them with a mighty hand, just it ought to make everybody that loves God, ought to make your blood boil about right now, okay? But verse 5, And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people which thou brought us out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, here it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses brought the Lord his God and said, besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony was in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writings was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. And so they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire. And Shazam! And there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. All the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword on his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. And Moses had said, Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord, preadventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. By the way, I appreciate you, and I'm going to mention this tonight, the intercession for Moses for these people. He wasn't interceding for people that were right with God. He was interceding for backslidden people, carnal people, people completely out of the will of God. But I want you to notice God's answer. You say, well, Moses said that, yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people into the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. You know what? Moses, God bless him. I appreciate his graciousness. He was literally offering himself up to be punished in their stead. But God was very specific, and he said, no. You know who's going to receive the judgment? Those who committed the sin. And he said this, I will visit their sin upon them. And nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. Notice this, and the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to see through the scriptures. Already, dear Lord, much of what I'm going to say tonight, you've given your Holy Spirit into the hearts of God's people, and many of the conclusions, many of the things that I draw from this story, it's eerie, Lord, how familiar this sounds to us in this day and age. It's sad that we cannot see what's happening around us. It's wicked that so many Christians who ought to know better are leaving the ranks of good, independent, fundamental Bible-preaching churches and joining into the contemporary Christian movement. And I pray, Lord, that what we would help our young people and help our adults to guard against being enamored with this new golden calf that isn't new. May we, Lord, put Bible perspective on what's happening around us and help us at the end of this, Lord, to rededicate ourselves to keep Blessed Hope Baptist Church what it is and what it ought to be, dear God, from now and into the future. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to properly define what I'm talking about so that you understand it. The first thing I think we need to do is define contemporary Christianity. The word contemporary is an adjective. It means belonging to the same period of time. It means this, of about the same age. It means this, and this would be where we're getting into the proper definition, current or modern, contemporary in trend or design. Of course, the word Christianity means to be like Christ. So then contemporary Christianity is a modification, watch this, of the New Testament church. I would say this, a perversion of the New Testament church. It is the church that has made changes to itself for these purposes. It wants to what they call be relative, irrelevant. That's one of the words you'll hear a lot in the progressive church, contemporary church movement. They would say a church like ours is no longer relevant. I would say that the scores of people that have been saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church this year would beg to differ with you as far as it being relevant. But so they would say we're not relevant or palatable or acceptable to the world. They have designed a church in their minds that will attract the unsaved. They have designed a church that will bring back people who used to go to church back into church. Now, listen, that may sound good, but I want you to explain what that means. Folks, we had a word when we were growing up for people who used to be church and used to be in church, used to serve the Lord and used to be dedicated to Christ and then are out of church. We had a word for them. It's a Bible word. The word is backslider. That's what it is. They're backslidden. What do they need to do? They need to return, old backslidden Israel. They need to come back. But they begin to understand and see what has been prophesied in the scripture, that in the last days there would be a falling away. People would want to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They don't want old-time religion. They're tired of the hymns. They've grown an appetite for worldly music and worldly ways. And so there were a group of men and church leaders that said, hey, you know what? Those people are out there, and so let's go see them. And let's take to them a survey, and let's have them write down the things that they don't like about the church, the things that caused them to leave church. And then let's gather those things and let's create a church where it will be palatable for them. They would enjoy coming. Well, folks, the reasons that people that are truly born again are no longer in church were collected in short order. Why did they leave the church? Whether they were saved or whether they were lost, why did they stop going to church? Well, the number one reason was the fact that they didn't like feeling guilty. They didn't like it when they didn't like hearing about their sin. They didn't like hearing negative things. They didn't like, as some former members have said here, getting their teeth kicked in during every service, you know. And yeah, whatever, okay. But they don't like those things. So they make it so it's preaching, Bible preaching, to sound harsh and unreasonable and mean-spirited and all of these things. Well, we don't want that. We like a certain type of music, and that church music is just too slow, it's too boring, it's too whatever, and so we don't want to hear that anymore. And so we want to do certain things, and we're tired of hearing it condemned. We want to live certain ways, and we don't want to hear it condemned. We don't want to be expected to be faithful. If we come, fine. If we don't come, fine. We want it to be more relaxed. We want to come the way we want to come, and we want it to be acceptable. And so they begin to gather all of these things, and so then they created the progressive church movement that basically said, we're going to give the people what they want. Is this already sounding familiar, folks? Do you have fresh in your mind Exodus chapter 32? And so the contemporary Christian music was born. Hey, you don't like the old-time hymns? We'll give you the kind of music you like. You don't like hard preaching? You don't want to hear about hell? We'll just remove that from the pulpit. You won't have to hear about it anymore. You don't want to be put on a guilt trip about anything? Hey, we won't preach against anything that's negative. We won't mention the word sin. We certainly won't name sin. And you come, and you know what? We'll encourage you, and we'll motivate you, and make you feel good about yourself. And so that's the contemporary Christian movement. That's what's gone on. Now, there's several problems with it. Can I just list some of these problems, and then we'll get into the actual scriptures. First of all, folks, without Christ, you do not have Christianity. Contemporary Christianity, if you'll notice, watch this, very seldom, not only do they not mention sin and hell, they seldom mention the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has been removed from their churches. Christians are bragging about the love of Jesus with little regard for the doctrinal integrity of holiness. Christians exalting feelings over faith as their criteria for both doctrine and practice in life. Contemporary Christianity seeks to please men rather than pleasing God. Christians revolting against strong Bible preaching and condemning it as arrogant and negative now have a place they can go and feel good about themselves. Contemporary Christianity has caused our churches to become entertainment centers rather than places where souls are being saved and lives are being changed and people are growing in God and God is receiving glory. Contemporary Christianity has caused the church to focus on the wrong kind of growth. They're more interested in how many people they can collect in numbers, and they are ignoring the fact that none of those people are growing spiritually, and few of those people are truly being saved. Now, folks, listen to me. Contemporary Christianity has made celebrities out of our ministers in contradiction to the word minister. and to the Bible definition of what a preacher ought to be. Contemporary Christianity makes us believe we don't have to give up anything to follow Christ. We don't have to make any sacrifice. You can come as you are. The problem with that is they stay as they come. There's no change. The Bible says this. By the way, I believe in just as I am without one plea. You know what? When it comes to salvation, you do come as you are. But I also believe this. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. What they want is a salvation that demands no change. A salvation that allows them to go forward secure in their minds that they now think they're going to heaven, and yet with no responsibility to obey the precepts and principles of God's word and to begin to grow in grace and in faith and in holiness and sanctification. And that's the new brand of Christianity, folks. They're in this community. There are several of them in this community. Sadly, in most cities, and Brother Joe, you travel a lot, but in most towns and most cities, the biggest church now is not an old-fashioned Bible-preaching independent fundamental Baptist church. The biggest, largest churches with the most ornate buildings and beautiful auditoriums and nice coffee shops and everything else they've got in there are a part of the movement that I'm talking about right now. Now, folks, listen to me. We are 100% against that type of so-called Christianity. I don't want it creeping in here in any way. I don't want, well, preacher, we can take this from it and that from it. Why don't we just leave all of that stuff alone? Because there's nothing that I see in Exodus chapter 32 of the type of worship that I see here that I want to take and steal and bring into Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I want to say this, we've had a lot of new folks come, and we are blessed, and I'm excited. I looked around this morning, and by the way, bus workers, I appreciate this. We talked about this some time ago and encouraged our bus workers to really begin to work on the parents and reaching the whole families. And more we are having children come or teens come, and then moms and dads following them into the door and becoming a part of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want to help our membership here. Listen, you know, sometimes, and you know how your pastor feels about this, I don't like the idea of bus kids, core kids. They're all Blessed Hope kids, all right? I really mean that. And sometimes, folks, if somebody drives in a car and they're an adult, we would treat them differently than if they rode on a bus and they're an adult. I don't believe in bus parents and car parents, or whatever you want to call them. You know what? I believe in reaching people any way that we get them. Any way we can get them, and I mean this with all my heart, some of the greatest blessings and sources of encouragement that have come to this preacher in the last several months have come from these young converts, these young adults. I stopped one of the men at the back door the other day that had been coming with his son and a dad, and he's been coming pretty faithful. And I pulled him off the side, and I said, I want you to understand this. I don't have a lot of time to talk to you, and I went out and visited him a couple of times, but we never really had a lot of time to talk. But I said, I want you to know this. I said, I am thrilled that you're here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And he looked at me and said, preacher, I want to tell you this. I want you to know it. He said, I love the Lord Jesus with all of my heart. And you know what? Wow, I almost went to tears right there. I mean, that's what he said. Now, folks, if I were to have him stand up, there may be some things on his outward appearance that maybe not be maybe quite where we would hope they're coming to one of these days. But let me tell you this, folks, listen to me. I'll take the heart. Because if you got the heart right, the rest of that stuff will eventually take care of itself. And man, I was blessed by that. I wanted to share that with the church house. Listen, praise the Lord. Let's keep reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I wanted to say was this. Listen, you know what? I'm not interested in taking our church anywhere towards the direction of the contemporary Christian movement of the progressive church. And so I'm going to sound a warning. I'm going to identify some very clear characteristics because, folks, listen to me. In independent fundamental Baptist churches, the elements of contemporary Christianity are creeping in. And we have to stand guard about this. Some of you may not understand. Please don't criticize your preacher. You know, I run into people every once in a while that have stronger convictions or stronger stands than I do in a certain area. Let me say this. I never try to dissuade them. I never try to turn them away from that. Matter of fact, I'm glad that they have those. Even if I don't feel like maybe it's necessary in my life, I'm still never threatened by someone who's maybe a little bit more separate. If anything, usually I'm convicted by them. And sometimes what we do is what we want to attack, or we, you know, be glad you're pastor. If I have stronger standards in some areas than you do, you want to be glad about it. Don't try to work your pastor. Probably listen to me real close to what I'm going to say, especially right now. There ought to be a church membership right now that have enough sense and discernment what's going on to know this isn't the time to try to leverage your pastor into changing any of the standards here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. You know what? If you're trying to do that, I look at you as an opportunist. We're going through some battles right now. Don't come trying to leverage change. If anything, you ought to be standing as firm as you've ever stood in every area and backing your pastor in every area of where we stand, okay? And I want that to convict some of your hearts. Okay, I'm not talking about your neighbor. I'm talking about those of you that are doing it. Okay, stop doing it. Get convicted about it. Get right with it. And stop trying to get your pastor to let off on some areas around here. We're not letting off on anything, okay? And so be glad about that, all right? Stop worrying about pushing your agenda and get in the church house and stand with your pastor. That'd be a good thing to do, amen? Now, there's several things that have gone on in our contemporary Christianity. There's several things that we're going to see reflected in this story. How in the world did this happen? Man alive, God invited Moses to a meeting on the top of Mount Sinai. Boy, they had a blessed time. 40 days he stayed up there. And he was there for so long and so powerfully in the presence of God that we received testimony in the scriptures that when he came down, his face literally shone, scared the people so much, some of them requested. He put a little napkin over his face. Boy, I tell you what, wouldn't that be something? 40 days in the presence of a holy God. It's from that story where we get the story where he puts him in the cleft of the rock. He's so desirous to see God. He wants to see God in a way he's never seen him before. And well, I tell you, I'm talking about holy ground right now. I hope that burns in your heart. Yeah, and this isn't just for preachers. This just isn't for Christian leaders. This ought to be for every Christian. Every once in a while, there ought to be something inside of every born-again Christian that says, God, I want to see you in all of your holiness and all of your power. I want to know you in a way I've never known you before. And during that time, God invited him to step in the cleft of the rock. That's where we get the song, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. And he put his hand upon that. And he said, you can't look at me, you can't see all of me, because no man can see God in his full holiness and power and live. You'd be dead, Moses, but I'm going to put my hand. By the way, he saw his hand. Woo, come on now. I'd like to see the hand of God. I've seen the hand of God a few times move. I'd like to see the hand of God. And he said, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass by you and you're not going to be allowed to see it. But then I'm going to pull my hand back and you can see the backside of my, the afterglow, if you'll let me say that, of my glory. And from just seeing, now think about this. Woo, this is a sermon. I ought to just stop here and preach. Just by seeing the afterglow of where God was a few minutes ago, it was like it turned him into the glowing energizer bunny or something, man. It put something in him that he, I don't know what it all was, but all of a sudden, that's why he was a-shining, see. And that's where Moses was. Okay, that's where Moses was. Where's the preacher today? Well, maybe he's in his study with God. What's the preacher doing? Maybe he's on prayer, praying for some backslidden church members. And by the way, you ought to be, I hope that when you get done with this, you realize how important the prayers of your preacher is. Not just when you're right with God, but when you're not right with God. And the only thing that kept these people alive was a preacher that wouldn't quit praying before God. I can tell you right now, there's 4 or 5 people that the only thing that's keeping them alive is the prayers of this preacher who they've turned against. And I'm going to keep praying for them. You know what? The Bible says, pray for them that have made themselves your enemies. I'm going to continue to pray for them. They ought to be glad about that. But here we see that Moses has been up there. Now, he's up there in the presence of God. He's up there to get the laws of God. He's getting ready to come down after a 40-day revival. And what are they doing down below? Verse number 1, and when the people saw that Moses was delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves unto Aaron and said unto them, up, make us gods. And I want you to listen to their tone here, because I hope that you are, again, very, and again, you can say, well, preacher, this introductory, this sermon is a defense of yourself. No, it's Bible preaching, and you better listen to it. But he says this, up, make us gods, which shall go up before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. It's almost like they're ready to move on. They're ready to throw him off to the side. He's yesterday's news. Yeah, he helped us out back then, but you know what? We no longer need him. Let's move on. And listen to me, be very, very careful. I want you to think about this. Think about the tone of people. There's too many folks in the last several months that have okayed in their heart speaking with disrespect towards the man of God. Now, I don't let people do that in my presence. I don't care. I mean, if they're a God-called preacher, you're not going to come up to me. Brother Joe Asbury told me this, and it blessed my heart several months ago. He was out preaching, and he said, from time to time, I get out there, and people know who you are, and I always tell them where I'm from, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm glad that you're not ashamed of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I tell them, my name's Pastor Jerry Ross. And he said this, he preached a message, and he said, I told him, preacher, I don't know what you've heard about Pastor Jerry Ross, what you know about him, don't know about him. He said, I'm glad he's my pastor. If any of you got a negative thing to say about him, don't come say it to me, because I love my pastor. And you know what? I appreciate that. You know what, folks? That shouldn't be an oddity. That should be the norm in the church house. Hey, I've got your back. You ought to have my back. I pray for you. You ought to be praying for me. I don't let people attack you. You shouldn't let people attack me. And so if you've gotten in the habit of speaking disrespectfully about your preacher or allow other people to, all right, again, would you listen to the Spirit of God? If you keep listening, that it's going to have an effect on your spirit towards your pastor. Evil communication corrupts good manners. And so you know what? Don't tolerate it. Don't put up with it. You know what? Well, he's not perfect. Sam, well, you know what? We don't require that. We knew that when we hired him. We don't require him to be perfect. We know he's not perfect, but I'm not going to listen to you list his imperfection. Why don't you work on your own imperfections and leave my preacher alone? And by the way, I've had four preachers before, four different men pastor me before I became a senior pastor. And I'm going to tell you, there's not a one of them that got anything from me except loyalty and support. And I believe that. And I thank God for the good people, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that do that. Don't let people come to you with constant criticism and critiquing of the man of God. All right, now watch this. First, how do they go from being where they were to where they're at? I'm going to break this down. How did contemporary Christianity get to be the most popular brand of Christianity on the market? And they are marketing it, okay? Let me just give you the five steps of how it happens. First thing that happens, the man of God is replaced by weak leadership. The man of God is replaced by weak leadership. And so they came to Aaron. Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off your golden earring. Wait a minute, weak leadership. What should Aaron have said? Moses said, I'm going to go spend some time with God. Okay, I'm putting you in charge. I'll be back. You know what he should have said? You know what? He's up there with God. That's where he's at. He's up getting the law of God. Come on, you were witnesses. You saw the lightnings. You saw the cloud come down. You saw the glory of God on the mountain. That's where he's at. And I'll tell you what, our standing orders is to wait until he comes back down. So you know what we're going to do? We're not changing anything. We're not doing anything. We're waiting till he gets done meeting with God and comes down with whatever God's given him. Now, one of the things that I learned as an assistant pastor, see, I pastored for 7 years, then became an assistant pastor. When I became assistant pastor, I'd never been a second man. I made a study in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I studied every single relationship in the Word of God where there was a man serving a man, a godly man serving under a man of God, a second man type situation. And I literally filled half a notebook with notes from that study. I did not want to make the mistakes that these men have made, and I wanted to do the things right that these things did. Probably one of the best examples in the Bible is Brother Elisha, who served Brother Elijah. And you know what? He served him and he wouldn't go away. And even when he told him to go away, he wouldn't go away. When the chariot came, guess who got the mantle? Now listen, folks, Aaron is a poor example right here of what a second man ought to be. I want you all to look up here. I'm going to help Blessed Hope Baptist Church this morning, okay? I appreciate Brother Jonathan Reiser, and he's been a faithful, faithful, good man at this church. Chad Gordon, and now on internship, Jesse. Let me tell you guys, and I've said this to you and taught this to you, I think, individually, but I'm going to say it to you publicly. You know what the tendency of church members are who really don't like the way the pastor's doing? You know what their tendency is? To not come to the pastor, but go around the pastor to an assistant pastor and try to get an assistant pastor to okay something or agree with something they can't get the pastor to agree with. Listen, church members, don't do that to your pastor. Okay? I was an assistant pastor for 11 years. People tried to do that with me. And you know what my answer always was? Wait. If you've got a question about that, you need to go see the pastor. Why don't we go right now? I'll go with you. Because I'll make sure you get an opportunity to look him in the face and ask that question. You do that 3 or 4 times as assistant pastor, word gets around, people don't try to bypass the pastor. Listen, folks, there needs to be a unity in leadership. Yeah, listen, the day, Chad, Jonathan, the day you can't be loyal to this pastor, you need to come tell me and I'll help you go find a place you can serve somewhere else. But you know what? Don't be an Absalom. Don't be an Absalom. And church members, don't try to create an Absalom. Now, we've had men that we've invited into this church that have come to me and said, my family, I'm a called preacher and I'm in the ministry and I'm between ministries and I come. And by the way, they have proven to be an Absalom. And some of our church people listen to Absaloms instead of listening to their pastor. And because of that, there's not some families that aren't sitting here anymore. Those men will stand before God and answer to the harm that they did Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But I'm telling you, and by the way, thank you, you're still here. It shows you're wiser than to have fallen for those things. Aaron, I'm disappointed in Aaron here. What in the world? So the people put a little pressure on you and you fold like a lawn chair? Now, so what happens? Watch this. What's happened across? Now, let's take a look at America. What's happened in America? I'll tell you what, the men of God were having to show on Voices from the Past because the world has replaced men of God. They don't want men of God in their pulpit. They want men they can control in their pulpit. They don't want men that's going to tell them no. They want men that's always going to tell them yes. They don't want men that's going to stand and not change. They want men that can be talked into things that are palatable. And so the first thing that the devil has done has basically gotten people to heap to themselves, isn't this biblical? Heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They heap to themselves, which means they went out and found the celebrity type preachers that they wanted and they've thrown under the bus. Well, I don't care what's become of this Moses. Let's not worry about him. Let's find a new leader. And Aaron certainly was weak in his character and weak in his loyalty and was a poor example here or a good example of weak leadership. So first of all, the man of God is replaced by weak leadership, number one. Secondly, the law of God is replaced by people pressure. The law of God was replaced by people pressure. Up make us gods which shall go before us as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them unto me. And so Moses up there getting the laws of God. And that's the absolute. That's the thou shalt and thou shalt not. You know what I'm finding out? Again, contemporary Christianity, they don't want thou shalt and thou shalt not. What they want is they want to be able to control the direction of church by exerting pressure. By saying, well, the majority of the people believe this. I'm always suspect. I'm going to say some things because some of you really need to hear what I'm saying here. All right, I'm always suspect when somebody comes to me in the church and speaks as if to represent a group of people in the church. Okay? Well, I know that some people are upset about this. Excuse me. I guess now you're representing a segment of this congregation. Be careful, Mrs. or Mr. Diotrephes. Okay? Well, I've got this little group and they listen to me more than they listen to the pastor. Well, there's an altar you can get to tonight. You can repent of that sin of pride. Same thing, the devil. I want to be equal with God. We talked about that in Sunday school. Some of you don't want to be equal with God, but you want to be equal with the pastor. You want a position you weren't called to. You want influence over part of the congregation here that supersedes my influence. I like it when it gets quiet like that. This is what happened. This is how you end up with the contemporary Christian church. Guess what? I'm not Aaron. I don't claim to be Moses, but I'm not Aaron. Okay, I'm not Aaron. And so I want you to understand that. Secondly, the law of God was replaced by the people, by people pressure, okay? And I want you to think about what I said there and take it to heart, because some of you already in your minds, you represent a group here, and you need to stop that. First of all, if you've got a group, then you've caused a division. There aren't groups here. There's one congregation. There's not multiple leaders. There's one pastor. Are you listening to me? I'm trying to help Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Anytime you see somebody that's trying to draw away a group of the membership and enjoys having more sway over that group than the pastor has, you've got a problem going on in the church. And by the way, you better mark them, because that's what the Bible says. Mark them that cause division among you. Mark them. And so, secondly, the law of God, what the Bible said, was replaced by people pressure. Now, the Bible, Moses up there getting a copy of the tablets, he's going to come down and give the thou shalt, thou shalt not. But before he can show up with that, let's rush to a weak leader and let's set a new standard of Christianity before Moses can get back to the pulpit. And so secondly, the law of God was replaced by people pressure. And again, I want to say this, and I know that the men in this church and the ladies in this church that are right with God would want the preacher to say this, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if every last cotton pick of one of you come to me all in one accord and say, we want something opposite of this book, or we don't want you anymore preaching this part of this book. I'm going to tell you, y'all can don't go take a flying leap. Okay, because you didn't call me into the ministry. You didn't call me to preach, and I won't stand before one of these days and answer for what I preach. I'm going to stand before God one of these days. Okay, and so that's what's happened a lot of times. There's churches all over this country that we could drive by that at one time was a solid Bible preaching church that had a good man of God with the hand of God upon him, and the blessings of God upon that church, but a group of people rose up in that church, and they wanted weak leadership, not strong leadership. They wanted to be able to have more say and more control. Korah, you take too much upon yourself. Isn't that what he said to Moses when he challenged Moses? You take too much upon yourself. And so they begin to do that, they get their gathering. Korah gathered a group of people, and dissenters do that. So secondly, the law of God was replaced by people pressure. Now, number three, notice this. Thirdly, the person of God was recreated into a false god. Now, this is what's so sad. I'm going to tell you. But this is what happened. The person of God, the true person of God, was recreated into a false god. A god that was fashioned by men. Verse 4, and he received them at their hand, the gold, and fashioned it with a graven tool. Now, folks, men are trying. What they want to do is they don't really want that God, that holy God that's up on Mount Sinai getting ready to send down the law of God. They don't want that God. What they want to do is fashion a God that is not a God, but then call him God. God created us. We don't get to recreate him. But Joel Osteen has recreated a God that is not the God of the Bible. Okay, and the contemporary Christian movement has fashioned a God that people can be happy with, that people don't have to fear, that does not represent holiness, that is not the God of the Bible. And then they fashioned this week after week through their preaching and teaching and their multi-million dollar book deals. And then they fashion this God and point and say, that's the God that brought you out of Egypt. That's the God that saved your soul. Only that's not the God that saved your soul. Say, preacher, how do we know the character of God? How do we know who God truly is? God has revealed himself to us through his word. That's how we know who God is. So I remember this, we saw a clip here, and I may have even shown this clip here. I can't remember if we did that or not. But there's a clip of an old Oprah Winfrey program where born-again Christians got on there, and she began to grill them concerning their faith in Christ and their view of a biblical God. And she said this. She said, I was sitting as a young girl, and this was how she started the show. I used to go to church, and I was sitting in as a young girl in the church house. And I heard the preacher say that God is a jealous God. And she said, I listened to that, and I thought to myself, well, I don't like that. I don't think that's who God is. Well, folks, listen to me. I can open the Bibles and point to you where the Bible says God is a jealous God. But she didn't like it. That wasn't palatable to her. So she began to seek God. She was not going to be restricted by the pages of this book and its description of God. See, folks, listen to me. The world wants a God of love, but it doesn't wants a God that loves man, but it doesn't want a God that hates iniquity. It wants a God who created heaven, but doesn't want a God who created hell. God created hell, folks. Okay, they want a God of blessing, but they don't want a God of curse and cursings. They want a God of prosperity, but they don't want a God of judgment. And so what the contemporary Christian movement is, you know what? You are going to either come to the pulpit and fashion a God that's pleasing to us, or we're not coming. We'll go find an Aaron somewhere, and we'll sit under his ministry where he'll fashion us the type of God that we want to worship, and then point to it and say that that's God, and then that's what we're going to worship as God, but you're worshiping something that is not God. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Was this golden calf God, the omnipotent creator of the universe? Absolutely not. Neither is the God that they're creating in their pulpits. I was going to say tonight, but most of them don't have services tonight. Probably the only good thing about liberal churches is that they only have Sunday morning service. That's probably the only good thing about it. Now listen to me. Watch it, folks. A God fashioned by men. That's one of the reasons that I would encourage Bledsoe Baptist Church. And you know, it may seem like a no-brainer, elementary, basic. But one of the benefits of every day spending time with this book is it keeps you locked in. It keeps you in your mind a clear definition of who God truly is. And if this book talks about a certain character trait of God, don't you ruffle your feathers at it. Don't you try to remove it. Don't you try to erase it. Don't you try to change God. You don't get to change God. Okay, God's supposed to change us. We're not supposed to change him. Okay, are you getting this? And so we see that the third thing they want to do is thirdly, the person of God is recreated into a false God. I want to give you this. Verse 4, 2, 3, and 4. Hold on, put your seatbelt on, all right? In verse number 4, it's a God that was fashioned by a man, a weak leader, a pseudo-preacher. It was a God fashioned of what kind of material? Gold. Verse 3, and all the people break off the golden earrings. Now, let me tell you the number one reason that these men are willing to turn their back and betray the true God of the Bible and fashion a different type of God. It's because they bring them gold to do it. Brother Hamlin came to me when he was with me, and he told me this story when we were taking him to lunch one day. We were in the car, him and his wife, me and my wife, and matter of fact, I was getting ready to go through a car wash, and he started telling this story. And he said, he talked about pastoring on the East Coast for a while, and he said, I went to a certain church and took the pastorate, and I was there for a few weeks, and he said, one of the very influential and rich businessmen that owned several businesses in town came to me after church and said one day, he said, Bob, I need to take you and your wife out to eat. Bob, I need to take you and your wife out to eat. Well, right away, Brother Hamlin said, okay, here we go. And so I'm not going to take you any place. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to pick you up on a certain night. We'll pick you up and I'll take you out to eat. So he said, he came to me and it wasn't him and his wife, this businessman and his wife. It was just this businessman taking Brother Hamlin out. Because when he came to pick him up, he was in a brand new Lincoln Continental. And he pulled up and he beeps the horn and Bob comes out to get in the car. And he says as soon as he gets in the car, hey, I'm sorry about this. I had to borrow my wife's car. I hope that this is all right. I had to borrow my wife's car. My Lincoln Town car is in the shop, so I had to borrow her car. And it picks him up and takes him. And he said, now, Bob, we're not going to go just happy. Bob, have you ever, can you hear Brother Hamlin tell this story? He says, the guy says, Bob, have you ever had a $45 steak before? He said, no, I've never had a $45 steak before. Bob, I'm going to buy you a $45 steak. So he took him downtown to the nicest restaurant, the place where all the rich of the rich of the rich people go, and they walk in and they know this guy by name, and the man takes him over and gives him the best table in the house, and he sits there and he spends the whole time talking about his businesses and his success and how much money he's got and all his riches and all of that. And he said, Bob, I'll tell you what, we like you as a preacher. I'm going to tell you something. I see some good things in you, and I think that, you know what, you've got a future here at our church. However, I've been talking to some of the other businessmen that come to our church, and there's some things that if you would just help us with, I'm telling you what, the sky's the limit. You're a great preacher. I'm going to tell you what, but there's just some areas. And Brother Hamlin said, at that point, I started eating my steak as quick as I could, because he said it was a really, really good steak. And he said, I'm never going to get a chance to have a $45 steak again in my life. So he's really just, and trying to get this thing down as quick as he can. And he said, now, Bob, what you're going to have to do is, first of all, my wife, she likes music. It's got a little bit more pep to it. And by the way, notice this, my wife. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But my wife, she likes things with a little more pep to it. And so we're going to have to bring in some of the newer music, Bob, if we're going to make this thing run. And now I'm telling you, the sky is the limit, and we're behind you. And listen, most of the businessmen, I understand that you've got some issues, and I'm not sure why you preach about this mixed swimming thing, but that's where we do business deals. I mean, we sit by the pool and we do our business deals. We go on vacation. This is where we do our business. And I know you're adamant against alcohol, but you've got to understand that's part of what's in the business world, and blah, 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 blah. And Brother Hamlin said, I'm hurrying up and I'm trying to finish this thing. And he said, finally, Bob, do we have an understanding? Brother Hamlin said, I set my fork and knife down. I looked at him and I said, sir, I want you to take me back to the church. And he said, okay. So he said, get the tech. And he took him back to the church. And he said, I want you to come with me in my office. And he took him into office. And Brother Hamlin said this. I walked over and picked up my Bible off the desk. And I walked over and I laid it in his lap. And I said, sir, you need to understand something. I'm not for sale. I'm not for sale. God called me years ago to preach this book. I'm preaching everything that's in it. Everything that you pointed out that you don't like, not only am I not going to change it, I'm going to hit it even harder from now on. Then he said this, by the way, you probably need to find another church to go to. Because if you're not happy with that, what I'm doing here, you're not going to be happy with this ministry. Now, folks, let me tell you something. I promise you this is true. There are a lot of Balaams out there. And they're being offered to prophesy a certain thing. And they're being bought and they're paid for. Why do you think Brother Hamlet stood up here and has stood up here for these many years with the power of God and the hand of God upon him? Because he wouldn't be bought. Okay, he wouldn't be bought. He's not for sale. Now, folks, listen to me. Isn't it interesting? Aaron all of a sudden saw all that gold out there and said to himself, hey, you know what? You want another God? Why don't you bring me a bunch of gold? You bring me enough gold, I'll make you another God. And that's exactly what is happening in the contemporary Christian movement. I've got to hurry on. Stay with me, all right? Where did they get this gold? Verse number 2. How many of you believe, before I read this verse, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? How many of you are still going to believe it after I read this verse? Where did they get this gold? Who did they go to? And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your, and of your, where's the men? First of all, I want to know why the boys had earrings in their ear. Study it out, folks. That was an Egyptian. That came from Egypt. That came from Egypt. Okay, I'm trying to help somebody. That came from Egypt. All right, and you know what he said? He said, wait a minute. Who brought the gold? Who provided the means of influence and the means of pressure? The wives, the sons, and the daughters. I'm going to say something. And you talk to any preacher. You don't believe me? You call any good, solid, independent, fundamental Baptist preacher when you get home. Call. I'm not talking about a compromiser. Call somebody that's always stood and still stands where they are and ask them this. Families that have left your church in the last 10 years, why'd they leave? Was it the man? I promise you, I've asked that question to many, many preachers, and you know what? I always hear the same answer. Their children got up to the age where they became teenagers and they didn't want to hear or live by the standards of an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church. So they begin to gripe and complain and whine and carry on, fall on their bed and cry and cry. And my goodness sakes, you know when a teenage girl cries, you have to change everything right then. I raised three teenage girls. If I changed something every time a girl cried, I don't know what I would become, but I sure wouldn't be who I am today. See, some of you parents, I can help you right now. When the girl cries, the old time daddies and mommies used to say something kind of like this. If you don't stop crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about. Oh, but little Missy gets upset, and then Mama gets upset with her, and then both of them come to Daddy, and next thing you know, Dad has to come to the preacher because, good night, everybody's upset, and I don't know if we can still come here anymore, and my daughter's not happy, and my sons aren't happy, and they even walk around telling lies like this. Well, nobody in the youth group's happy. Nobody in the youth group's happy. Again, they have now become a representative of every other member of the... Are you listening to me? Do you have any sense in your head? Are you listening to me, church? Why do you believe that nonsense? Just because somebody says it? So they must be an authority on it? What are they doing? Walking around on the phone, talking to everybody, calling everybody, getting everybody's opinion? How come they won't walk in my office, but they'll call everybody else involved? Have you figured anything out yet? That's how your church ends up being a contemporary church one of these days. Now, men, listen to me. Stand up and be men. Who's supposed to lead your home, sir? It's not a teenager. Okay? We've been doing this a long time. I watched people while my dad was pastoring this church walk out of the door and not come back. And if the honest truth was had, and if they left for the right reason and showed it, it would be a wife having a husband by the ear or a teenager having mom and dad by two ears leading them to the car for the last time. Men, listen to me. You need to lead in this. You need to lead your home. You need to stand for what's right. You need to stop allowing your kids to get caught up in nonsense and your wife to get caught up in nonsense. If your wife comes to you and says, I'm going to tell you a bunch of ladies are upset about this, what should your answer be? Maybe something like this. Why are you on the phone with a bunch of ladies talking about what y'all are upset about? If every word in the last year that was spoken in gossip at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, if those words were turned into witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, we'd have won this county in the last year. Now you got to decide what you're going to do and how you're going to live your life. You're going to go home and you're going to live your life the way you're going to live your life, and I'm going to live my life the way I'm going to live my life. We all have a free will, but I'm giving you some wisdom right now. I mean, we haven't got it through verse 2 and we're in trouble, folks. It may be part 2. It may take you about a week to get over part 1, but I'm helping Blessed Hope Baptist Church right now. I'm securing the future of Blessed Hope Baptist Church right now. Now please listen to what I have to say. What kind of God was recreated? Well, the person of God's recreated into a false god, a god that is fashioned by men, a god fashioned of gold, and a god produced from the earrings of the wives and the sons and the daughters. Fourthly, number one, the man of God was replaced by weak leadership. Number two, the law of God replaced by people pressure. Number three, the person of God was recreated into a false god. Number four, holy worship of God is replaced by fleshly entertainment. In verse number 5, when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Aaron made proclamation and said, let's go into a time of fasting and prayer and confession of our sin to God. See, folks, what people want is a revival atmosphere with no repentance. So what does he propagate here? Notice this. He said this, tomorrow's a feast to the Lord. Yeah, that's what these people need. They need to celebrate. And they rose up early on the morning and offered, say, preacher, wait a minute, they offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. Okay, what's the next thing say? And the people sat down to what? Okay, what are they eating? Were those sacrifices supposed to be sacrificed unto God? Sounds like me, they just brought meat for a barbecue. They're profaning even the offerings. All right, study it out. And sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now, folks, listen to me. We have a party environment. A party environment. We've got a golden calf, a God that's not really a God. We've got everybody proclaiming that he is a God. We've got weak leadership that can't stand up and say he's not a God, even though he's not a God. The people pressure is controlling the situation instead of the word of God. They've created their false God, and now they're going to recreate what worship is, the definition of worship. And the holy worship of God is replaced by fleshly entertainment. I got a flyer, and I wish I'd have kept it, but you'll understand why I had to throw it away. But there are all kinds of things coming. If any of you ever got the mail at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, went down and helped and got the mail for me, it's ridiculous. Entire forests die every week just to produce the junk mail that shows up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But I mean, we get everything. I used to just go through my office. Now I just, if I pick it up, I drive over to the dumpster. So I go right to the dumpster, roll down the window, I go woof, 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 and I, you know, get that big stack and I get down to the five things that I really wanted. But I get all kinds of flyers from all different groups, especially from the contemporary Christian movement. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If I could have ever held up something and said, come look at this, if you want to see Exodus 32, there were a series of, and I can't remember, I wish I could remember the name of the actual event. It took place in, I think, about six different areas over the past summer. They had it in South Carolina at the beach. They had it in Florida at the beach. They had it on the Gulf Coast, somewhere on the Gulf Coast at a beach. They had it three different places in California, all on beaches. And what this was a great, huge gathering of Christians to worship and fellowship the Lord. They literally bring out onto the beach a huge platform. I'm not talking about near the beach, I'm talking about on the beach. An entire stage for their performances. All of the Christians show up. And you know what they do? They get motel rooms and they get on their beach garb and their beach attire and they go out because they're going to have a big worship service. All afternoon they play and frolic and dance around and play volleyball, and of course they're all dressed in culottes and make sure that they're in tops that are covering their... No, you know the way that they're dressed, all right? And they're frolicking around in the flesh for all of those hours, and then here comes... not Moses. By the way, Moses is never invited to this. They never have asked John R. Rice to preach at one of these things. Lester Roloff, they don't want him, okay? They always bring in a group of Aarons. But more important than that, because the Aarons are not the primary show, more important than that, they bring in the contemporary Christian music groups. Now, the pictures of these contemporary Christian groups on this flyer, if I'd have held up to any of you that grew up in the 1970s, you'd have looked at them and said, the bands, the wicked, heathen, satanic bands of the 1970s looked more decent than the men and the women represented in the pictures of these contemporary Christian music groups. And so they get up there and they got their amplifiers loud and they bang out their crazy Christian, so-called Christian rock music. And they do it group after group, hour after hour, and in between, every once in a while, an Aaron comes on the stage to do a magic trick or tell a funny story or do something like that. And supposedly, in the process of this, God is worshipped and God is praised and people are saved, and I say hogwash. I looked at that flyer and I thought to myself, Exodus chapter 32. I mean, this is exactly, why can't they read this and look at it and see the similarities that are so glaring? They ought to be flashing in neon off the pages of the Bible. But you know what? The holy worship of God is replaced by fleshly entertainment. Verse number 5, verse number 6, verse number 19. And it came to pass as soon as they came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. Then it goes over here and says in verse number 25, when Moses saw that the people were what? Yeah, they were having a beach worship service is what they were having. Now, folks, in no way does that resemble true Christianity. There's no way you can walk into a church, a progressive, so-called church, just following the progressive recipe, contemporary church, contemporary movement, and spend any time as a born-again Christian, sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. They'll talk a lot about the Spirit, but they never use His first name. Well, we sure could feel the Spirit tonight. The Bible says try the spirits. There's a lot of spirits out there. You try the Spirit. How do you know if it's the Spirit of God, the true Spirit of God, the member of the triune God? Because you know what? When He comes, holiness comes. Okay, when a false spirit comes in posing like a real spirit, then you know what? Debauchery comes. Nakedness comes. Dancing comes. Entertainment. Let me give you the fifth and last one. Fifthly, the music of Egypt replaces the songs of Jehovah. Verse number 17 and 18. Let's read it out so that you see this. Verse 17 and 18. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. So he's some distance away from this rock concert going on. I'm going to show you it is a rock concert. And from a distance, it sounds like war. And you know what? That's a very accurate description of what you would hear from a distance while these contemporary Christian music groups are carrying on. So they get a little closer. And by the way, Moses is the old man and Joshua is the young guy. But Moses apparently has better hearing than Joshua. Amen. That encourages all. That ought to encourage every older person here, all right? Because Moses said this, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, although it resembled all those things. Isn't that interesting? But the noise of them that what? Sing do I hear. Now folks, listen to me. And by the way, I thank God for good music, and I thank you for the music program, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But anytime the music program becomes the centerpiece and the preaching of the Word of God becomes peripheral, you've got a dangerous situation. We sing when we come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but we sing so that our hearts will be prepared for the preaching of God's Word. That's why we sing. The music is supposed to, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, the songs are to spiritually prepare you for the receiving of the Word of God. Not stir up your flesh, not stir up your emotions, not get you swaying, you know, all right? You're not going to, listen, the spirit warreth against the flesh and the flesh warreth against the spirit. The Bible says the flesh profiteth nothing. And you're not going to tell me that you're going to bring music in that stirs up fleshly the carnal passions of men and women for 3 hours, have somebody walk out and present the plan of salvation and whoosh, the holy Spirit of God comes down and does a mighty work in that meeting. No, because the spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh wars against the spirit. They cannot work together. So if you construct, if we were to construct, gentlemen, listen to me, young ladies, listen to me. If I was to drop the standard and we were to construct a music program that your flesh enjoyed and then I tried to come up here and deal with spiritual things, I've created a war zone in the church service. And carnality in the average church has been so stirred and the flesh so stirred that even if a man walked behind the pulpit with a King James Bible and tried to preach, he'd have to battle everything that happened previous to that. One of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Me and my wife, we pastored Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Central Baptist Church in Brazil years ago. Man, we didn't have two nickels to rub together. And both of us, we'd been there. And it was 3.5 years before I ever had a guest speaker because we couldn't afford one. I mean, I preached every service for 3.5 years. We never took a vacation. We stayed there. I didn't have anybody. Listen, that was it. That was our life. And I looked at her one day and I said, we got to go somewhere and get fed. So we found a little flyer about a Sword of the Lord conference. It was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We literally scratched the change up, looked at the change in the cushion of the seats and everything else, and scraped together money to go over there and go one night and one day and spend one overnight and then drive back that night so that we could just hear some preaching. We needed encouragement. We needed to sit under some preaching. This church, I take it back. It wasn't in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It was over in Ohio. This church in Ohio had a great reputation for many, many years of being a good independent fundamental Baptist church. But it had a new pastor for not very long, and the Sword of the Lord conference had been there several years, so these men of God that preached at these sword conferences came in but didn't realize that some of the music standards had begun to drop in that church. And so they had a group come in to perform. Anytime I hear the word perform, I'm a little bothered, okay? Okay, when you come up here to sing, your purpose is to praise the Lord, not perform to men. Okay, your purpose. Now get this. This isn't, we're not going to let this turn into American Idol stage. All right. Are you listening to me? Your purpose is to prepare the, bring glory to God and prepare the hearts for the preacher that's going to come up and preach the word of God. All right. Not to perform. All right. Now, this group got up to perform, to bring the special music. And they had all of these instruments. They had all of this, you know, PA stuff. And boy, they got up. And I watched John Rice. And no, John Rice was already in heaven. I watched Brother Howes, and I watched, I think it was Lee Robertson and somebody else on the stage. And man, when they let loose, you could see all three heads go like this. And they just looked at it. And they looked over at the preacher, and then they looked at it, and then they looked down at their Bibles, and they all started acting like they were writing, working on something. Like you've probably seen your preacher do a couple of times, amen? There's a storm outside. Boom, boom, you can hear the thunder, lightning. All of a sudden, boom, electricity goes off in the entire church. Boom. They're right in the middle of a song. They're jamming. Shoo, boom. I look at Dr. Jack Howes and Dr. Lee Robinson. I can't remember who the third guy was, and they all look up, and they all look at each other, and they smile real big. Well, man, they fumble around. They don't know what to do. They look over at the pastor. He looks over at them. It's crazy. Watch this. They finally come over and stand before the pulpit. They don't have any music now. Their mics don't work. And they sing in harmony, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And guess what? God came. God came. And my shy ex-pastor, Dr. Jack Hiles, who was always afraid to express his opinion on most anything, walks up behind the pulpit and says, "Open your Bibles to such and such." And he looks down at the singers on the front page. And he said, "You know what? Every church you go to, if you just hit the breaker box, turn the electricity on, you could get God in on the service." Then he went to preaching. Say, don't you think he should have been a little more sensitive? Listen, folks, we're more worried about offending singers than we are offending Almighty God. Excuse me, they were offensive. But it was interesting because all of a sudden the entire spirit, I learned something that day. Boom, God shut the light. I think he was teaching a young preacher something. Boom, God shut the electricity off. They had to stand there and with their voices sing praises to God. They went to one that they could remember and think of, and they went to an old hymn. And the entire atmosphere of the service changed immediately. Now, listen to me. Don't buck your preacher on this because I'll buck back on this. All right. You know what? Probably be a good idea not to try to find anything that's written in the last 10 or 15 years and then bring it to the pulpit, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Do you think everything that's written in the last 10 or 15 years is bad? No, but why don't you just let it prove itself? Why don't you let it stand the test of time? I've walked into this church. I did it one time about a year ago. I walked to this church and somebody was practicing a song that was a contemporary song, and I stopped their practice and I said, "You need to find something else." Say, "Aren't you afraid of offending them?" No, I'm afraid of offending God. Amen. Say, "Preacher, but it wasn't that bad." But the problem is, folks, if it's, you know, isn't that a defense? What defense is that? It's not that bad. That's your defense. Why don't you decide for it to be unquestionably good? Because every generation, young people, listen to me, every generation wants to just push the envelope a little bit more and push the envelope a little bit more. Next thing you know, well, one person sung it, so the next person wants to sing it. Next person, "I'm going to help some of you let me right now." And you know what? I don't know what you, I don't go to your houses. I don't expect what you do. I don't look in your, I don't go out in the parking lot, go through your cars and look at your CDs. Okay? None of my business. But some of you need to get rid of your contemporary Christian music. You need to get rid of it. You need to take your preacher's advice here and get rid of it. Well, but you understand, no, you just need to get rid of it. You just need to get a hold of some music that is unquestionably proven. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, unquestionably proven. And you need to ditch that stuff. Because when you open that door, it's amazing how many other things begin to change. Almost every church that I've watched go from the transformation from a strong independent fundamental Baptist church to a evangelical contemporary church, it started with the music program. So, well, preacher, I think you're a little too tight on this. Thank God for it. Now, honestly, just go home and say, you know what? Our preacher's probably too much on this, but kids, aren't we glad? Because if you criticize where I stand and your kids hear it, well, I don't criticize it. We were just in the front seat talking, and I don't even think they were listening. You know what? Little pitchers have big ears. If I have one more parent say, well, we've never mentioned this in front of our kids, how come your kids always know then? Okay, you know what kids do when they're in their bedroom and they hear the serious talk going on? They stop what they're doing and listen. And some of your children are changing. I'm going to say it. Some of your children are changing their attitude towards their preacher because your attitude towards your preacher is not right. I can almost always see where a family is by the way their children treat the pastor. I can tell when a mother gets a critical attitude because the children, next thing you know, they used to come back and they'd come over and they'd want to speak, and all of a sudden now they're walking wide loops around me, kind of trying not to make eye contact. You better watch it. Because whether or not you know it, your children need your pastor. They need to have a pastor. And so what is God's reaction to this? Well, our time's up. God's reaction to this false form of worship that we just looked at, he declares it as corrupt in verse 7. He declares it as disobedient in verse 8. He diagnoses it as the result of stubbornness in verse 9. He decrees the destruction of those involved. Decrees the destruction of those involved, verse 10. Plagues the people because of what he calls this their great sin in verse number 35. That's what God's reaction to it was. When I see a church or go to a church where there's a contemporary Christian atmosphere, you know what? In my mind, it's corrupt, disobedient. It's a result of some stubborn people. God has decreed the destruction of it, and God will plague the people that's involved with it. You say, well, that's God's reaction. How about Moses' reaction? Well, good. Let's learn something, Pastor Jerry Ross. How should a spiritual leader react to this stuff? First of all, he interceded for the people. Let's give Moses a pluses for having a heart for God's people and standing between them and destruction, them and an angry God. Number two, he becomes angry at the sight of it. Verse number 19, did you see that? And Moses' anger waxed hot. You know, watch this, young people. There's some things your preacher ought to get mad about. There's some things your parents ought to get mad about. Okay? His anger waxed hot. Watch this. He breaks the tablets of stone containing the law of God. Verse 19. You say, preacher, should he have done that? I don't know, but I know this. I don't see anywhere where God condemns it. I think it was ceremonial. I think it was symbolic of the moment. He came down with the laws of God, and they'd already broken all 10 of them. All 10 of them. And he threw it down and broke it in front of them. It was symbolic. By the way, God made him another set. There was more where that came from. God replaced it. I mean, he's got it. Okay, he hit save before he closed the program. It was all good. Moses reacted to this false form of worship by interceding for the people. And by the way, folks, like I said, be glad you got a preacher that prays for you. Becomes angry at the sight of it. Breaks the tablets of stone containing the law of God. Destroys the false god they created. What are you trying to do here, preacher? I'm trying to grind that golden calf into powder. And some of you, I need to sprinkle it on water and make you drink it. Because that's better than it makes you physically sick for a while than it makes you spiritually sick and your children spiritually sick forever. Demands that the people make a choice. Rebukes Aaron for allowing this sin. Verse number 21. Destroys those that led Israel into this false worship. Demands the people to consecrate themselves. Makes atonement for the people in verse number 30. We could have preached all of that. Contemporary Christian music, stay away from it. Dangerous, 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 dangerous. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, there's so much we could have said more. Mercy. Lord, help us to be wise. Help us to take the wisdom from this message, dear God. I pray, Lord, that people wouldn't bow their back to it. I pray, dear God, that some daddies would get behind the steering wheel before mom or the kids could say anything. Say, boy, I'm going to tell you what. I'm glad the preacher said everything he said. That was right on target. Our family supports that. May some men take some leadership. I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, to protect the great heritage that you've given us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we now have been warned, and we would be wiser, more careful in trying to push the boundaries that sometimes seem like short-term doesn't matter a whole lot, but long-term takes us in a whole different direction, one that we certainly don't want to go. Bless this message. Help our church through it in Jesus' name.